You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the presidential style that you're used to. My hair's funny, but you're made of money, see? And my show was the best on TV, let me tell you. My words may repel you, my vision for America to sell you. Trying to buy the White House with all my wealth? First, let me introduce myself. My name is Trumpty, pronounced with a umpty. Illegals, oh, how I like to thump thee. And to all the other candidates, please allow me to bump thee. I build a wall, y'all, to control immigration. Stop rapists from invading our nation. I'm the best. Don't think you can beat me. And if you don't agree, you can open up and eat me. I'm sick with this. I'm just talking smack. Sometimes I sound ridiculous. My plan and execution is meticulous. And my catchphrase...
You're fired.
...is ubiquitous. I'm pushy. My eyebrows are bushy. My supermodel wife has got a nice tushy. I'm a freak. Comb my hair with a broom. I once got busy in the Trump Tower boardroom. I'm direct. Say what I think. And I think that this country is right on the brink. Now I'm just a candidate and wanting a chance. Even got my own dance.
The Trumpy dance is your chance to be like Trump.
I beat China all the time. $5 billion we spent on a website.
Trump.
I hire people.
Trump.
They do a website. It costs me $3. I'm really rich. I would build a great wall. And nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. And we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there is your presumptive candidate for the GOP. And good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining me on the Drex Radio Show live. And local on the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And with me tonight, Pat Thurston.
Woo-hoo! Go Bernie!
And John Rothman.
Yeah, very quietly saying, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you on election night.
I love it. Yes. So we're going to roundtable it. And I have to start with Pat Thurston. My goodness. Now, I'm sure everybody thinks, well, you guys must be like neighbors.
Besties.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right. We've never met each
other. Never met this. Never spoken to each other.
I know,
other.
Which is insane.
Never even spoken
right.
to each other.
Right. It's not that we haven't tried.
Right.
And if they could have seen tonight when they first laid eyes on each other, arms went around each other. They were
like,
so happy to meet.
Why could we not?
Yes.
Why could we not? No. See, we loved each other but didn't know each other.
Well, thank you for filling in for me while I was busy dying.
Thank you for being busy dying because right. it was fun. And I don't mean that.
There will be no round two.
I was
of that.
Happy yeah, that yes. you recovered. I truly
right.
was.
Well, thank you. That's fun.
But I had fun while it lasted.
Well, I appreciate you coming in tonight because I thought, well, I know that you're a big Bernie supporter, and quite frankly, I am too.
Oh, good for you.
Secret be
you.
Told.
Yeah.
And John Rothman analyzing everything. You were watching closely.
He's not a burner.
He
tolerates us.
Yeah. You know what? Isn't that interesting? I didn't even ask you,
His
John.
His son is, though.
No, but my son went to the rally yesterday here
yes.
in San Francisco.
Chrissy
loved
Field.
Every minute of it. And we went to vote today for the first time. My two sons, my wife and myself, the whole family, we went to vote. And Samuel very proudly told me he voted for Bernie. But and I want to underline this. He said in the fall, he will vote for Hillary Clinton for president. He's got to stop Trump.
Okay. Well, that's where my head's at. No.
And you're looking at me like I'm going to – look, I feel like an abused wife, okay? I've been abused by Hillary Clinton in her camp. So I'm not just going to jump right aboard. And frankly, I'm a little ticked off by what the AP did yesterday. I think the day before the big election, for them to come out and name her as the nominee – she has not been nominated.
That's
I know
correct.
They said presumptive.
Right.
But for pity's sake, why don't you give us a chance to just vote? Hold it for a day, dude.
Well, with all due respect, it was not just the AP. It was everybody else.
They started it, though.
What we all did is we took pencil to paper to see how many pledged delegates, how many superdelegates, and that's how you determine who's going to be the nominee. By the way, they're just announcing that Sanders had one victory tonight. North Dakota caucuses evidently has succeeded. South Dakota is too close to call at this point, but Clinton is ahead. And, of course, in New Jersey, it's really a stunning victory, 63% to 36%, with Clinton winning an overwhelming victory.
Yeah, New Jersey.
Well, no, but you understand, tonight what we're looking for is delegate count. We're looking to see – at the end of the night, how many elected delegates does Clinton have?
Yeah, but, John, if we could go back to the AP thing so I can bitch a little more.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, go. More bitching.
The thing is, this had to have an impact. It had to have an impact.
Now, it could have had an impact.
But it could have had an impact on Hillary voters staying home because, oh, she doesn't really need us. Or it could have had an impact on Bernie voters losing our zeal and passion and thinking, you know, it's a hopeless cause and not going out to vote. I'm so mad at the AP. And yet, I get the thing about you keeping track, but what they did was they started contacting people and anonymously getting those people to tell them, the superdelegates, to tell them how they were voting.
They have been tracking CNN, AP, all of them have been tracking on a regular basis.
Yes, but
the superdelegates.
AP had contacted.
They did start it. AP did start it.
And they contacted these people and asked them. They contacted people and asked them how they were going to vote. And they kept them anonymous. But these were people who had not announced how they were going to vote.
All I can tell you is the superdelegate list is a public list. We know and have known how the superdelegates are voting by and large. And the simple truth is, whether AP reported it or not, whether CNN reported it or not, or Fox reported it or not, didn't matter.
They all did.
The numbers are clear, and now we have to move on.
Oh, it was sleazy. Day before the election is a sleazy
thing. And what do you do? Do you put a? It's very.
You wait for a day.
Well, you know,
give us an opportunity to vote, for God's sake. And
are
the Democratic
reporter,
Party, who I hate, you know, the DNC, they actually, you know, Bernie was right. They did put out a statement and said, "Do not count superdelegates until the convention, because they are not pledged, they can change their minds, and they're not part of the nominating process,
Pat,
until the convention.
I understand that you're upset that Bernie Sanders is not going to be the nominee, but what has to be crystal clear is the job of the media is to take an objective look and report to people what the numbers are.
Oh, well, the timing was a little suspect.
I think so, too, and I do think it sucks. However, you know, forever Bernie Sanders has changed California politics and for the country, I think, for the better.
I think so.
I mean,
too.
He's looking for a platform, Pat, and he'll get that.
He's looking for a revolution.
And a revolution, and he may still get that out of California. Let's see. He could win. I mean, I mailed in my ballot weeks ago. As soon as I got it, I mailed it in. So I feel like there's a lot of people like me. Also, back to the AP and the news cycle today. It was my thinking. I didn't hear it on Fox until this afternoon. So I'm thinking that I hope a lot of Californians already went to the ballot box before they heard it. We'll see.
Well, you know, I do think, and John, you probably know this, there's a large number of Californians who vote by mail.
50% of the votes are being cast.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And we should be clear. I understand all of the concerns. It reminded me, and I was telling my son about 1980, when Jimmy Carter conceded while the polls were open on the West Coast, and we lost Democratic senators, including Frank Church in Idaho. We lost them because Democrats stayed home. There must be a rule then about not releasing numbers.
I think so, too. Yes, that would be fine. And it always – now, this is the first time I've been on the West Coast since the 80s.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania, but I lived in Chicago for 14 years. Yeah. Okay, so – but, yeah, I know –
So
that,
you must love the weather here.
Absolutely. Don't I ever. Yes. 72 all the time. No whining for me on that. But it seems like we always – California gets shortchanged because of the West Coast time zone.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
And that's
unfortunate. And then they totally disregard us through much of the primary season. But didn't we not that long ago, didn't we switch our primary election to earlier and then we switched it back to later?
It needs to be moved earlier.
Because
so we can be
so
the big enchilada.
Big.
Yes, we should be the big enchilada.
And maybe we can start directing the way things are going to go.
Once upon a time, California made a difference in the Republican race in 64, in the Democratic race in 1972. But the way things work now in terms of the rest of the country, particularly Super Tuesday, it threw everything off. Super Tuesday created this massive block of delegates, and we're not part of Super Tuesday.
Well, we can change that. All right, I've got to take a break, and then we're going to go to Hillary. Hillary's going to speak live, and we're going to carry it coming up here on the Drex Radio Show.
Joy.
With Pat Thurston and John Rothman sitting in, and we're roundtabling it, and we'll be taking your calls at 808-0810. Let me see here. Yes, indeed. Let's take a look at traffic right now with Lee Graham.
KGO.
KGO 810. Joining me live tonight in the studio on primary day in the state of California, Pat Thurston and John Rothman. We're watching closely here to go to Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech, I suppose, presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. Pat's not happy about that. I will say this before we go to that. The Sanders spokesman, Michael Briggs, said the campaign's job is to convince those superdelegates that the Vermont senator is by far the strongest candidate against Donald Trump. He said calling the Democratic contest before the superdelegates formally vote at the convention was definitely a rush to judgment.
Well, she's not nominated yet.
That's right.
And so you know, I tend to, you know, I agree with that.
Same argument could have been made 8 years ago because it was the same situation. In fact, most people don't realize that Hillary Clinton defeated Barack Obama in 7 out of the last 10 primaries. The reason that in the end she conceded was because of the superdelegates. And so what we're seeing is a replay of what we saw 8 years ago. And we may, some people may not like it, but the simple truth is that Sanders' campaign manager spoke tonight and said, when all is said and done, we have one goal, and that's to defeat Donald Trump.
And then there's Donald Trump, who spoke earlier. You listened to that speech.
I did, and his
highlights, lowlights.
Yes, it was a diatribe. No mention of the judge. We're going to talk about that later.
Right.
But it was a diatribe against the Clintons, and he has announced that on Monday he is going to deliver a speech to the American people denouncing the Clintons. And he said, and I wonder if the media will cover it. But that is going to be the negative pitch that Donald Trump is going to use in this campaign, and it's going to be dirty.
You know, I didn't watch that speech. I didn't hear it. But I did hear prior to him speaking that this was only the second of the many speeches he's given that would he'd be using a teleprompter
and
for.
He did.
Wow. Could you tell? Did it lack anything?
He varied. No, I thought it was so simple. It was the same speech.
Yeah.
It kept repeating the same things, the same lines. Going to make America great. Going to keep your job. It was the same thing.
All of his speaking points, right.
Having seen candidates and worked in campaigns where teleprompters are used, he didn't need a teleprompter. The reason they gave it to him was so he wouldn't go off point. Because he has a tendency, after repeating all these phrases, the other thing that was unique, originally this was announced as a press conference. And it was not. No press.
Ivanka, Melania standing beside him.
Let me just point out at this very moment, we have Hillary Clinton coming in, shaking hands, being cheered, and she will be giving what is clearly her acceptance speech, at least now that the primaries are concluded, and she appears to be the Democratic
nominee. But is that kosher to give an acceptance speech before the other candidate has conceded?
It's exactly what Barack Obama did.
I don't know if that means that's the way it has to be done.
All I can tell you is when I had this discussion with my son, I flipped it and I said, what if Bernie Sanders had the superdelegates, had won the primaries? Would you feel the same way?
Well, let's see what she says. Because I think, Pat, you're right. It's presumptive of her to do that before California even closes.
Yes.
Why?
Well, why not? She could wait another
hour
or so.
Because California's huge, right.
Let's stop and think for a minute. What she's doing is going for the East Coast television audience.
I understand.
And there is a time issue.
Well, it's 10:30 there.
I always remember Dick Nixon when he came back from China. You know that he was actually 3 hours ahead, so they circled Alaska for 3 hours so he'd land in prime time. That's what politicians do.
Well, if that's what she's doing, we're about to find out.
Is she circling Alaska?
if you look carefully, she is circling the audience. She is basking in the glory. Big smile.
Oh, she's a great politician. I give her that.
She's wearing white. She's waving.
I've got to give her a lot of credit. The speech that she delivered in San Diego.
Wasn't that fabulous?
It was fantastic.
It really was.
I have to tell you, the gears started turning in my head. I'm thinking, now this won't be so difficult for me when it comes to the general.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it is for me because even though she attacked, what was brilliant were her attacks on Donald
Trump.
What it was supposed to be, her foreign policy speech, there was very little of that in there. It was her attack on Donald Trump's foreign policy.
But it was well done.
It was incredibly well done. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, give the devil her due.
Look, she's now basking in the glory, hands up, waving, everyone's ready. And Drex, thank you very much. We're going to carry this speech live.
Hand over her heart.
Shall we? All right, let's join in on the fun. We'll be taking your calls at 808-0810. You can comment. Or perhaps you're like Pat, thinking this is way too early for her to be doing
Drex, that. It was exactly 8 years ago that she conceded to Barack Obama, exactly to the day.
That's correct. With me, and I am so grateful to you. It is wonderful to be back in Brooklyn here in this beautiful building. And it may be hard to see tonight, but we are all standing under a glass ceiling right now. But don't worry, we're not smashing this one. Thanks to you, we've reached a milestone. The first time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee. Is not about one person. It belongs to generations of women and men who struggled and sacrificed and made this moment possible. In our country, it started right here in New York, a place called Seneca Falls in 1848, when a small but determined group of women and men came together with the idea that women deserved equal rights. And they set it forth in something called the Declaration of Sentiments, and it was the first time in human history that that kind of declaration occurred. So we all owe so much to those who came before. And tonight belongs to all of you. I want to thank all the volunteers, community leaders, the activists, and organizers who supported our campaign in every state and territory. And thanks especially to our friends in New Jersey for such a resounding victory tonight. Thanks for talking to your neighbors, for making contributions. Your efforts have produced a strong majority of the popular vote, victories in a majority of the contests, and after tonight, a majority of pledged delegates. Our country who have taken the time to talk with me. I've learned a lot about you, and I've learned about those persistent problems and the unfinished promise of America that you are living with. So many of you feel like you're out there on your own, that no one has your back. Well, I do. I hear you. I see you. And as your president, I will always have your back. I want to congratulate Senator Sanders for the extraordinary campaign he has won. His long career in public service, fighting for progressive causes and principles, and he's excited millions of voters, especially young people. And let there be no mistake, Senator Sanders, his campaign, and the vigorous debate that we've had about how to raise incomes, reduce inequality, increase upward mobility have been very good for the Democratic Party and for America. This has been a hard-fought, deeply felt campaign. But whether you supported me or Senator Sanders or one of the Republicans, we all need to keep working toward a better, fairer, stronger America. Now, I know it never feels good to put your heart into a cause or a candidate you believe in and to come up short. I know that feeling well. But as we look ahead, to the battle that awaits, let's remember all that unites us. We all want an economy with more opportunity and less inequality, where Wall Street can never wreck Main Street again. We all want a government that listens to the people, not the power brokers, which means getting unaccountable money out of politics. And we all want a society that is tolerant, inclusive, and fair. We all believe that America succeeds when more people share in our prosperity, when more people have a voice in our political system, when more people can contribute to their communities. We believe that cooperation is better than conflict, unity is better than division, empowerment is better than resentment, and bridges are better than walls. A simple but powerful idea. We believe that we are stronger together, and the stakes in this election are high, and the choice is clear. Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit to be president and he's not just trying to build a wall between America and Mexico. He's trying to wall off Americans from each other. When he says, let's make America great again, that is code for let's take America backwards. Back to a time when opportunity and dignity were reserved for some, not all. Promising his supporters an economy he cannot recreate. We, however, we want to write the next chapter in American greatness with a 21st century prosperity that lifts everyone who's been left out and left behind, including those who may not vote for us, but who deserve their chance to make a new beginning. When Donald Trump says a distinguished judge born in Indiana can't do his job because of his Mexican heritage, or he mocks a reporter with disabilities, or calls women pigs, it goes against everything we stand for, because we want an America where everyone is treated with respect and where their work is valued. It's clear that Donald Trump doesn't believe we are stronger together. He has abused his primary opponents and their families, attacked the press for asking tough questions, denigrated Muslims and immigrants. He wants to win by stoking fear and rubbing salt in wounds, and reminding us daily just how great he is. Well, we believe we should lift each other up, not tear each other down. we need to give Americans a raise, not complain that hardworking people's wages are too high. We believe we need to help young people struggling with student debt, not pile more on our national debt with giveaways to the super wealthy. We believe we need to make America the clean energy superpower of the 21st century. Not insist that climate change is a hoax. To be great, we can't be small. We have to be as big as the values that define America. And we are a big-hearted, fair-minded country. We teach our children that this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Not just for people who look a certain way, or worship a certain way, or love a certain way. For all, indivisible. This election is not, however, about the same old fights between Democrats and Republicans. This election is different. It really is about who we are as a nation. It's about millions of Americans coming together to say, we are better than this. We won't let this happen in America. And if you agree, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, I hope you will join us. In just a few weeks, we will meet in Philadelphia, which gave birth to our nation in that hot summer of 1776. Those early patriots knew they would all rise or fall together. Well, today that's more true than ever. Our campaign will take this message to every corner of our country. We're stronger when our economy works for everyone, not just those at the top, with good-paying jobs and good schools in every zip code, and a real commitment to all families and all regions of our nation. We are stronger when we work with our allies around the world to keep us safe, and we are stronger when we respect each other, listen to each other, and act with a sense of common purpose. Stronger when every family and every community knows they're not on their own, because we are in this together. It really does take a village to raise a child. And to build a stronger future for us all. I learned this a long time ago from the biggest influence in my life, my mother. She was my rock from the day I was born till the day she left us. She overcame a childhood marked by abandonment and mistreatment and somehow managed not to become bitter or broken. My mother believed that life is about serving others, and she taught me never to back down from a bully, which it turns out was pretty good. This past Saturday would have been her 97th birthday because she was born on June 4th, 1919, and some of you may know the significance of that date. On the very day my mother was born in Chicago, Congress was passing the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. Gave women the right to vote. And really wish my mother could be here tonight. I wish she could see what a wonderful mother Chelsea has become and could meet our beautiful granddaughter, Charlotte. And, of course, I wish she could see her daughter become the Democratic Party's nominee. Ceilings to break for women and men, for all of us, but don't let anyone tell you that great things can't happen in America. Barriers can come down. Justice and equality can win. Our history has moved in that direction, slowly at times, but unmistakably, thanks to generations of Americans who refuse to give up or back down. Now you are writing a new chapter of that story. This campaign is about making sure there are no ceilings, no limits on any of us, and this is our moment to come together. So please join our campaign. Volunteer. Go to HillaryClinton.com. Contribute what you can. Text JOIN, J-O-I-N, to 47246. Help us organize in all 50 states. Every phone call you make, every door you knock on will move us forward. Now, I'm going to take a moment later tonight and the days ahead to fully absorb the history we've made here. But what I care about most is the history our country has yet to write. Our children and grandchildren will look back at this time, at the choices we are about to make, the goals we will strive for, the principles we will live by. And we need to make sure that they can be proud of us. The end of the primaries is only the beginning of the work we're called to do. But if we stand together, we will rise together because we are stronger together. Let's go out and make that case to America. Thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
And there you have Hillary Clinton pretty much accepting the fact that she will be the first female presidential nominee. A sensational speech, I would say.
You know, Brilliant. It would be great if she lost California by 30 points and Bernie actually took the pledged delegate count. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be something.
So great. It would just humble all of them.
John's not
wishful
having that.
Thinking.
I know.
The campaign for the Democratic nomination is over. And what we have to focus on now, Democrats and Republicans alike, is what happens in the race for November. What is clear is she delivered a brilliant speech, absolutely solid, on
she
point.
Did.
She blasted Trump in a nice way.
She reached out.
There it is. Well, her daughter is up first with her son-in-law, Mezvinsky.
There's Bill. I saw his gray hair.
Bill is coming. And it is a historic moment. And there he is. He's giving her a big hug. And it is something that is powerful when she proves that she can deliver a speech with real meaning. And Drex, I know you were taking vigorous notes, and we'll analyze it all the way through. She even alluded to Donald Trump's problems of the last several days, and we're going to talk more about that, I know, in the 8 o'clock hour. But the important thing to point out is that tonight, in my judgment, she hit a home run. And when you contrast that with Donald Trump, who gave a mediocre nothing,
right,
it really has resonance. This was an acceptance speech.
And Californians have 16 more minutes to vote.
Yes, they do. But for sure, it did feel like history in the making.
You look at me like I'm going to agree, and I'm not. I mean, of course, it's historic if she becomes the nominee. Of course, it's historic. She's not going to, even being the presumptive nominee, she's not the nominee yet. Not until the convention. A lot of things can happen.
We'll see what happens.
So, you know, if she's nominated at the convention, then I will at least grant historic.
Historic. We'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, but you, I think that, and I was talking with you briefly off the air about this, but I do think that this, that Californians have an opportunity to vote strategically if they really don't support Hillary Clinton. Sanders supporters don't have to vote for her in the general. They can, they don't have to vote for Donald Trump. They can vote for the Green. They can vote for Libertarian candidate. You know, they don't have
Barry Johnson. But, you know, I
because
always,
she's going to take, if she's the nominee, she's going to take California anyway.
I always remember what happened in Florida. And I want you to know every vote counts. And I don't believe in strategic voting. I think people go to the polls and they understand the choice America is going to face. And in November, if these are the two candidates, Trump and Clinton, there will be a real choice for America. And we can't afford to make the wrong choice.
And I say vote your conscience.
All right, 415 is the area code outside the Bay Area, and then 808-0810. We'll take your calls now and your response to all of the things that are happening on primary day here in California. 808-0810 to the Drex Radio Show, along with Pat Thurston and John Rothman. And with a look at traffic,
and
lots of opinions tonight. Oh, my. The election, well, we still have 8 minutes to go here in the state of California, but yet Hillary Clinton has declared herself the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee.
Well, but she has. And I think that it was not good. I mean, and I thought the speech was good. I agree with John Rothman.
Yeah, it was an excellent speech.
And the last speech she made was really good, too.
Yeah.
So I give her kudos on speech making. She's good at that. I just think it was really presumptive before California's polls closed.
808-0810 is the
number. It's not fair to us, Drex.
I know, right?
Yeah. But it's like telling us we're not important. Our vote doesn't count.
But John said this, and I know he's right about this. 50% of Californians probably mailed it in. I did a long time ago.
Do you know what the AP did, though, in this analysis? One of the things that they said they did, and I don't know how they do this, John, you may know. They said they took exit polls from early voters. How do you do that? I mean, they personally called the superdelegates.
I'll be happy to explain to you there are two ways of doing it. One is they do call superdelegates. All the networks are tracking the superdelegates.
Right.
The superdelegates are constantly called.
Not the superdelegates, the early voters.
Okay, so what you do is you go down to City Hall,
yeah,
where they have voting booths set up, and you can do informal polling, and that happens all over the country.
Oh, so not people who are voting by mail, but the people who are actually going in and early
voting.
Because
you cannot assess how people vote by mail until the polls close. Those ballots are sealed.
Well, see, then what?
All right. We shall find out. 808-0810 with lots of calls. Sharon in Ukiah, you're on the Drex Radio Show with Pat Thurston and John Rothman.
Is it Sharon you're talking to?
Yes, go ahead.
In Ukiah? Yes. I had a couple of points to make. One, I do think Pat needs to back off. I think that she should remember Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton both stepping up to the plate to support Barack Obama after a very hard-fought campaign. Bill Clinton's speech at the convention was wonderful. I also think we need to remember the last time the Democrats nominated a left-wing candidate, and that was George McGovern. And we got a second term of Richard Nixon.
I want you to know, I agree with you completely, but I want to point something out.
Wait. You agree that we can't elect a left-wing candidate?
I want to point out that the goal is to win the election, not to forfeit to Donald Trump. Now, it's very possible if Bernie Sanders had won the nomination, and that was a possibility, there would have been absolute unity behind Sanders to defeat Trump, because the American people understand that. But what I think is very clear tonight is, and it's the lesson we just learned, that the Democratic Party united will win because, as we will point out shortly, the Republican Party is deeply divided. We're going to play a clip later on of what Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the former vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party, said about Donald Trump, what Mitch McConnell said Donald Trump.
Yes.
Well, I would also like to point out that it's a number of months before the general. And so, you know, I think a little bit of fighting with the presumptive nominee self-declared. I think it's okay to do that. I still want her toes to be held to the fire. I want her
and
to
I think
left.
They will. I did like what she said in her speech. Bridges are better than
very
walls.
Important. Hillary Clinton just won the New Mexico Democratic primary, projected by CNN. Too close to call in South Dakota. So what we're talking about here, and that's an upset because it appeared that Sanders might win there. And we now have very clear indication that it's moving. Now, the polls here in California close in 4.5 minutes. Right. And then we will try to give you the most up-to-date information.
Let's go to the phone. Sandy in San Francisco, you're on KGO.
Hi, Sandy.
I think you got John.
John. Okay, we'll work with you, John.
Hi, John.
Go ahead. Hi, John.
Hey. Hi, John.
Well, hey, guys. So as far as bridges better than walls, I think they just added 2 feet at the White House. They're not putting any bridges over there. Pat, be still your heart, because Bernie's going to be the man, because both Drex and John are whistling past the graveyard, because guess what? Mr. Comey's going to bring recommendations for indictments after the interview in a couple of weeks. She might have perjury. She certainly has obstruction of justice, and she's going to be convicted of espionage. Not convicted. She'll be Loretta Lynch will never bring the charges, but I think that the recommendations will be brought forward.
Do you know what, John? Yeah. Do you know what I heard? And unfortunately, I think it's truly credible, is that Barack Obama can issue a preemptive pardon if it looks as if his Justice Department is going to bring charges.
A president of the United States has the absolute power of pardon. That's not going to go that far. Tomorrow, at the latest, the day after tomorrow, Barack Obama will support Hillary Rodham Clinton for president.
Why will it not go that far?
Because I think you hit one thing on the head. They're after her. If they're after her for anything, it's for perjury. And that's the reason why all of her aides have been interviewed separately, and she was interviewed separately. But
no, they're after her for moving. No, they're not after her for perjury. That's one of the things they're going to catch her on. But she had compartmentalized top-secret information on her server at her house.
If you read the Inspector General's report, which I did, there was no indication of a recommendation from the Inspector General that there be an indictment. So I would be surprised if there were an indictment on the servers. Perjury is another matter. And I'd remind you, that's what got Bill Clinton in trouble.
No, that and many other things.
All right, we shall see. Boy, I don't see that coming. I don't see the indictment coming.
You know, there's two things going on with Hillary Clinton, and one of them I know Donald Trump is planning to push very soon, and that's the foundation, the Clinton Foundation. There are a lot of people who've made allegations that there was a tit-for-tat thing going on, and no, that wasn't dirty. So that she was, as Secretary of State, that the Clinton Foundation was accepting these enormous donations from foreign entities, and that could be a violation of the law.
That will be, let me tell you, that is where she's vulnerable. And I've said this with you, Pat, on the air, and I said it with Ron the other day. The vulnerability she has is over the Clinton Foundation. And every indication from what Donald Trump said tonight is that's what he is going to go after.
Right.
He is going to go after that issue. And that is, frankly, a real issue in this campaign.
And it's not just his opinion. I mean, if he goes after, and he's so full of crap that he'll lie, his little butt off.
Well, let's see what happens with Trump University. I mean, already
God.
The talk, they're trying already today on Fox, they're trying to say, let's stop talking about it. Nobody cares. No. That's not going away.
It's not going away.
You heard the story in Texas, which is a real scandal. The then attorney general, who is now governor, dropped the charges against Trump University in exchange for campaign contributions, and that is
Holy
a real issue as well.
Mackerel.
Right, and
oh
you've got Paul
God.
Ryan pushing back, and
you've got sound.
Illinois
we'll play the sound.
Yes, it's all coming up. But it is a historic night either way. Now, it doesn't feel like we won. it doesn't feel like 2008, does it?
No.
I agree with you on that. Right. Yes. We're together as one on that, Pat.
Well, I think they ruined it. I think, by doing what they did yesterday, I think it hurt.
All right. 30 seconds till the polls close.
And we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.